Himself. Are we recording? I should ask. Sound booth? Sound booth? Hey. Yes, thank you. All right. They're busy with something else too, and I thought maybe there was a problem. So in this portion, Adonai tells Moses something about not just himself, not just his ancestors, the patriarchs, but also about Israel and a little bit about ourselves as well, if we allow him to speak to us. So that's what we're going to look at today, is what did Adonai tell Moses that we can see for today? And we're going to start at the very beginning of the portion, Exodus 6:2, and I'm going to read a couple of verses from there. So starting in 6:2, God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Adonai. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. Yet by my name Adonai, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, a land of their pilgrimage where they journeyed. Adonai says that he showed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob himself as the name, by his name, El Shaddai, which is God Almighty, and he is. But by saying this, he tells something even more. He says they didn't know him fully. Can you imagine the patriarchs who did all this, all these great things? They actually didn't know him to the fullest extent possible. They knew his glory. They knew his promise for freedom. They knew the promise that he was going to save them, promise of the land, but they didn't know him completely. They knew him by a few names, but not the name that he was going to disclose to Moses right there, Adonai. The patriarchs had the covenant, and they lived in the land, but there was something missing in that relationship that they would not have expected. That we wouldn't even expect. Even sometimes as we read it, we don't see it. There was something missing. There was something that's going to be different about Moses and Israel. That he's going to expose himself differently than he did to the patriarchs. That's kind of a strange thought. That the patriarchs didn't even have something that Moses had. And that we have today. They called God Adonai, which is the word that's used for the unspeakable name of God. Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. And you'll recognize it in your scriptures because most of the time when they translate, they use the word Lord there in all capital letters. That's how you know that they're using that name. It's an unspeakable name in Judaism, so they don't write it out that way. And the fathers were familiar with the name Adonai, but God didn't make himself known to them by the name. That is, he did not yet reveal all the aspects of his deity that describes him, which is within that name. This revelation was to come at the time of the Exodus. The fathers knew God was all sufficient, guiding them on their journey and meeting all their needs, promising them their offsprings and the blessings and the land. But only in Exodus does God complete his revelation of who he is when he fulfills all of these promises. And this really can expand our own understanding of the phrase to know God. The fathers called God Adonai, but they didn't really know him. They only knew him as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But apparently, to know God is more than just to know his name. To know him means to directly experience all of his nature. all of his activities. And up to that point, he hadn't really exposed all of it to Israel. Let's take a look at Exodus 5, where Moses first approaches Pharaoh to say that Adonai wants his people to be free. So starting in 5:1, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "This is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a feast for me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is Adonai that I should listen to his voice and let Israel go? I do not know Adonai, and besides, I will not let Israel go." Now Pharaoh says, "I do not know Adonai, nor will I let the Israelites go," many times after the Lord says that the Egyptians would come to know that he is Adonai, the one true God. The Egyptians would have heard Adonai's name before this. They would have known the history of Israel. The Israelites would have known it too, of course. God plans to let himself be known to the Egyptians by sending the plagues. He's displaying his superiority over all of their false gods. And then he's going to bring Israel out from under slavery. That's how he's going to make himself known. In the same way, Israel would come to understand and get to know Adonai in an even better way, an even fuller way, through the experience of deliverance. It's through the trials that both Egypt and Israel go through that they both get to know more about Adonai. But of course, Israel will come to have a more intimate relationship. They're going to become his people, Adonai's people. Adonai wants us to know him very personally as well. Even more than the way Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob got to know him. And it appears that the only way to learn of him cannot be without going through things that shows us who he is and what he's fully capable of. This is why we go through trials. This is why we go through our tribulations. It's actually going through the trials that we get to know who he is in every facet of who he is. We see in Exodus 6:6 that it is that Adonai says he will do for the Israelites. And that is what shows them another facet of Adonai that the patriarchs didn't really have. Exodus 6:6, starting there, it says, "Therefore say to Bnei Israel, I am Adonai. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you to myself as a people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Adonai your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Some call these the four I wills, some call them the seven I wills of Adonai. And he speaks of what he will do so that we get to see and know all the attributes of Adonai. So let's take a look at these. Notice the first thing he says is, he will take us out of our burdens. He's going to take us out of our burdens. Then he's going to deliver us. Then he's going to redeem us. Don't go through those yet. Don't go through those yet. I know. Stay. No, I'm going to review them and then I'll go back to them. So don't go there. I'm sorry. I should have told you that. But he says he's going to deliver us, then he's going to redeem us, then he'll take us as a people. It's not until after these things, not because he's not able to make us his people before we go through the other three things, but because that's when we'll get a better view, a better understanding of who he is. It's not because we would not be totally, it's because we wouldn't be totally ready unless we knew all of the things of him. We couldn't really become his people. These seven I wills let us know intimately who Adonai is. Let's Israel know intimately who he is. Even better than he let the patriarchs know who he is. So now we're going to go through them. So let's hit the first one. I will bring you out. He brings us out of darkness into the light of knowing who he is. It is once we accept Adonai that he brings us out of the darkness. You know, it actually happens simultaneously. I couldn't say which comes first. Does he bring us out or do we get to know him first? But I'd have to say that he lets us know who he is even before we come out of the darkness. Otherwise, how would we know that we need to come out unless he makes himself known first? Next, I will rescue you from bondage. Once out of the darkness, we will be able to see the things that hold us in bondage. That's one of the things that his spirit does for us. It opens our eyes. It lets us see what are the things. And then it'll break them off for us as we strive to work with him. These are the sins of our lives, the worries that we've not given up to him yet, the hurts, the pains, the wounds, all those things that hinder us and hinder our walk and our relationship with him. That's what he says he's going to do. Break all those bondages off of us. Then he says, I'll redeem you. He will redeem us by his blood. It's the blood that cleanses us from our sins, heals us, and acts like the balm of Gilead to heal our wounds. This is how we can walk and have a relationship with him. There are those that think that they can easily carry their own sins, right? We all know people who think their shoulders are this wide. I don't need God. I can carry it all by myself. They think they can carry their sins, they carry their hurts, they can carry their wounds, all that junk. And some of them think they can still have a close relationship with Adonai. But that's really not the way it works. You cannot walk in his freedom without allowing him to set you free. And then you have to actively make the effort to walk in his ways. Next, he says, I will take you as my people. Once we surrender all, then it's possible that we will be his people. Then we can call on his name. But it's not until we're cleansed. It's not until all those things are broken off. It's not until we release those things and he's able to remove the sins that we're able to come into his presence, to the foot of his throne, to worship him and honor him and glorify him. I'm not saying that we need to be perfect. That's not it. But you need to be washed. You need to be cleansed. You can't go before a perfect God with sin and that stain upon you. So we make that effort to walk with him in order to be called his people. We make that effort to walk in his ways so that we don't keep clamming on to those sins. Next, I will take you as my people. I just did that one, didn't I? Next. I will be your God. I will be your God. When we do come to the throne, when we do surrender it all, when we do walk in His ways, then He'll be our God. He's already our Creator. He already knows. He's already done, you know, so much. But He wants to be our God once we surrender everything. Once we admit who we are. Once we find the atonement through His blood, accepting His blood sacrifice. Now, once we do that, He'll freely give Himself over to us. Kind of an odd way of saying it. He'll freely give Himself over to us. Doesn't mean that we control Him. But now we can be in full relationship with Him. Fully in His presence, we can depend upon Him fully. Then He says, I will bring you into the land. Once He's our God, He'll bring us into the land, that promised land. Now we can relax in the knowledge that He will take us in. It's up to Him. Look, it's up to Him to bring us into His land. We can't just fight our way into a blessing with Adonai. We have to do it His way. That means we have to do that surrendering. We have to give up that control. We have to accept Him as a God, as our God. Then He'll bring us in. You know, it's great to say that while we're here on earth, we'll see and accept Him. But I really can't say. It's a promise that He's going to bring us into the land. It's great to say, I'm in the promised land while you're in this land, while you're still here on earth. But the ultimate promised land for us as believers is when we're before His throne. That's our true promised land. When we accept His blood, when we accept Him as the Messiah, Yeshua shed His blood for us so that we can be brought into His land. He came once already. He came as that sacrifice. He showed us how to live. And then He shed His blood on the executioner's stake. The next time He comes is for resurrection. So that we'll all be caught up in the air with Him. For some, it'll be forever for that joy that comes for being before His throne forever. Praising Him joyfully. Love, peace. For some, there's a separation of Him from Him because of our sins. For a world that's not atoned, has not accepted Yeshua as the Messiah and cleansed by His blood, who doesn't accept that free gift, there's no eternity before Him, with Him, through Him. And then there are those who have accepted Messiah Yeshua, but because of the weight, because of the trial, because of the things that we're going through, they fall away. And that to me is almost as sad as someone who's never accepted. They had the taste of freedom. They had it in their grasp already. It was the promise that was made to them, and they walked away from it. They accepted another truth. That, to me, is just heartbreaking. But for those who do come into his land, his presence forever, he says, I will give it to you as a heritage. As a people, we have a heritage now. It's one of being promised to be with him for all eternity in his land. It's a promise, and it's eternal. That we will be his people in his land eternally, living the way he wants us to be living, and living before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords forever. Now look, for the disciples of Yeshua, they got to know him while he was here on earth. But they were truly not able to fully comprehend and walk as he walked until they saw what he was able to do, including being risen from the grave. Can you imagine? We actually have an advantage over the disciples, over the original disciples. We know as soon as we're saved, his full power and authority. The disciples didn't have that right away. They had to wait to see him rise up. They didn't have the power of the Ruach HaKodesh until they waited in Jerusalem for it to come upon them. For those of us who believe in Messiah Yeshua, that's our free gift right away. That counsel that he gives us. The wisdom and discernment that he gives us. We didn't have to wait for him to be risen up again because he already has. He is the first fruit of the resurrection. That's our proof that resurrection is going to happen. Why we have to hold on to the plan. Adonai has a seven-step plan. Seven I wills is a seven-step plan. They're not small steps. They're kind of big steps, really. But he takes the steps when we take the steps. And before he takes the steps, he's asking us to take one small step towards him. To recognize and accept him as God. And that his son Yeshua is the Savior. Don't get me wrong. When it's said this way, it kind of sounds like there are multiple gods. He is God, and then Yeshua is the Savior. There are many who are going to argue, look, you just said there's two. But no. It's only because we don't have the mind of God that we can grasp the reality that he is but one. But we see many different facets of who he is. It's a hard thing to grasp. Our Jewish brethren have a very hard time with that because they look at the Shema, God is one, and they say, but you just said there's multiple. But no, the Shema, we stand on the Shema, there is but one God. Our Jewish brethren can grasp that there's Abba Father and the Ruach as one, but they have a hard time when you speak of Messiah Yeshua and try to say, now you got the three as one, but they have a hard time seeing it that way. It's the Ruach HaKodesh that's going to help them get there, though. It's our witness that's going to help them get there through the Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Karen Orr is here for, to witness to them, to witness to everybody. But to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. When I look at the seven I wills, I see that the first three bring you out, rescue you, and redeem you as being given as evidence of who he is. Then the fourth one, take you as my people, is once we accept him. And the last three, being our God, bringing us into the promised land and giving us our heritage, are the great acts of bringing us closer to him and to his love that will continue on for all eternity. Adonai brought Israel out of Egypt with a strong arm and broke the bonds that held them in slavery. He redeemed them with the blood of the firstborn of the Egyptians, allowing all to have freedom. He took them to be his people and became their God, bringing them into a land that flowed with milk and honey. He was able to make them a nation and people of praise to him, which is their heritage. His desire is to do the same with all the people who live today, to take us out of the darkness that we live in, to break the bonds of sin that hold us in slavery, to redeem us by the blood of Yeshua so that we can be cleansed and reside with him, so that we can be part of the nation of Israel, whether we're born into it as a Jew or whether we're engrafted in as Gentile, it does not matter. As long as you accept him so that we can live eternally with him. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the blood that you shed through Yeshua, by Yeshua. We thank you that you have a plan, that your plan is true, that your plan never fails, that your plan is forever and ever. We thank you that you will bring us out, that you will rescue us from our bondages. You will redeem us and you will make us your people when we turn to you. And when we turn to you, you will be our God. You will redeem us and make us into a heritage. Ruach HaKodesh, I ask for those who do not yet know you, who do not yet know your son Yeshua, that you would soften hearts, open eyes, unstop ears, so that they may become your people, that you may redeem them, rescue them from their bondages, rescue them from their sins. Look, I just ask that you would do something spectacular on this day, that someone who hears this word will read your words, your words there in Exodus, your words in Isaiah 52 and 53, your words even in Isaiah 42 about a suffering servant who Messiah fulfills and becomes. That it couldn't have been Israel that he was talking about, that Isaiah was talking about, because Israel couldn't suffer for itself. Ruach, we just lift you up to spread the truth of who Adonai is and who Yeshua is, our Savior. We just thank you for your word and thank you for your love and your blessings. Amen and amen. That's who